Hello, my name is Henrik Jönsson. Today's video is in English due to its international relevance. I'll be back to Swedish with English subtitles next week. Earlier this week, a young Swedish activist managed to suspend a Turkish aircraft carrier from departing Gothenburg Airport by refusing to sit down. The reason for this was to prevent a 52-year-old man from Afghanistan, who was also on the plane, from being deported. I'm going to use this incident as a starting point for a discussion on the law, subjective opinion, and civil disobedience in Sweden. Stay tuned. The identity crisis of the formerly self-proclaimed humanitarian superpower of Sweden has, in recent years, been playing out for open curtains. Providing the world's most generous welfare system combined with an open border policy proved unsustainable in 2015 when the left-wing government was forced to implement border controls on the Öresund bridge, which connects Sweden with the European continent.
Bästa sättet att hjälpa mina miljöpartistiska kommunalråd är att ändå göra någonting.
The border controls were controversial and has led to an increasingly polarized debate climate in Sweden. A vocal and influential identitarian minority across the political spectrum is now advocating civil disobedience, claiming the less open borders to be a violation of human rights. On the other end of the spectrum, a seeming majority of voters are now turning to the authoritarian right and siding with the Sweden Democrats on the issue of increasingly restrictive immigration. In order to understand the present state of conflict, some background is necessary. During the fall of 2015, the flow of asylum seekers and immigrants to Sweden reached unsustainable levels, with more than 10,000 refugees arriving weekly as the crisis peaked.
It is not quite on a biblical scale, but an exodus it certainly is.
In total, Sweden received over 162,000 refugees during 2015, overwhelming the Department of Immigration and vital infrastructure. As a result, the asylum application processing times slowed to a crawl, as many of the asylum seekers had no way of proving their identities. A large majority were also claiming to be under the age of 18, legally making them eligible for status as unaccompanied children, granting them a higher probability of permanent resident status. In another controversial move, age controls were gradually implemented during 2016 and 2017.
Ska flyktingbarn och ungdomar som kommer ensamma till Sverige genomgå medicinska tester för att man ska veta hur gamla de är?
And a vast majority of the asylum seekers had their age adjusted upwards, no longer deeming them acceptable to be defined as children.
Majoriteten av den här gruppen har fått sin ålder uppskriven av Migrationsverket.
Den har blivit uppskriven, men de har inte kanske uppenbart ljugit om sin ålder.
This again led to massive protests from the left wing and from the refugees, who initiated months-long strikes in central Stockholm, refusing to accept the decision of the immigration court. As deportations of those not deemed eligible for asylum beginning to be carried out, the identitarian fringe is getting increasingly confrontational. Last Monday, 21-year-old activist Elin Ersson bought a ticket for a flight bound for Afghanistan via Istanbul and refused to be seated unless she and the 52-year-old Afghan man scheduled for deportation were escorted off the flight together. Ms. Ersson filmed the whole incident on her smartphone and the video quickly went viral.
What I'm all saying is that I'm not going to sit down until this person is off the plane.
Swedish activists who engage in this type of civil disobedience view themselves as operating in the tradition of Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, heroically and selflessly putting themselves at risk opposing an oppressive and morally bankrupt system for the sake of the greater good. Nothing could be further from the truth. The civil rights movement activists were intensely knowledgeable about the law and how to work within the system to bring about change, letting activists stunt serve to draw attention to the issues and the work they were actually doing.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
The Swedish identitarian movement are generally ill-educated, and there is little actual work being done aside from the hot air blown about during demonstrations, protest and civil disobedience like the one conducted by Ms. Ersson. In fact, Ms. Ersson falsely believes her actions to be perfectly legal.
This is all perfectly legal, and I have not committed a crime.
Let me emphasize that it is absolutely not legal at all to prevent an international aircraft carrier from taking off. Not only is it incredibly expensive, with each hour of delay incurring the carrier hundreds of thousands in airport fines, it is also arbitrarily inconsiderate for all the hundreds of people with connecting flights on the plane. Actions like these are in violation of the Aviation Law, Chapter 13, Paragraph 4, Section 10, and should result in heavy fines or prison up to 6 months. This information is readily available on Google and serves as an illustration of how ill-prepared and devoid of practical knowledge large parts of the Swedish activist movement really is. Activist activity with no legal grounding render attention. But attention must not be confused with what affects real change. This is just noise. On a side note, a sign of the times is that Ms. Ersson, the day after her video, set up a new Facebook page establishing herself as a lecturer. In my book, she actually scores some points for capitalizing on her virality here, but as far as affecting change, no. This is all words and feelings. In Sweden, this type of activism is generally put on a pedestal of virtue, which both publicly elected officials and journalists engage in. In 2014, representative of the Left Party, Malin Björk, performed a similar protest, preventing a plane headed for Iran from taking off. This move, paired with a wide-eyed conversation upon being confronted with its illegality, rendered her a lot of press and catapulted her political career into the European Parliament. In 2011, member of Parliament of the Centre Party, Abir Al-Shalani, conducted an equally illegal deportation protest at Stockholm Airport. Al-Shalani was subsequently relieved from her duties on embezzlement charges. In 2017, three journalists working for public service television were convicted for illegal people smuggling, and the list goes on and on and on. There is nothing wrong with empathy and humanitarianism, on the contrary. But a decision to oppose the law requires thorough deliberation, preparation, and a deep understanding and knowledge in order to achieve the desired effect. The rule of law is difficult to change for a reason. It is meant to withstand short-term opinions and feelings in order to uphold the principle of objectivity before which all citizens are deemed equal. This is not to say that the law is infallible. On the contrary, it's often very flawed indeed. However, if we wish to maintain a parliamentarian democracy, it is imperative that we respect the law and diligently and expertly work to change it through democratic processes.
The world is perishing from an orgy of self-sacrificing. My terms are a man's right to exist for his own sake.
An activist protest, like that of Rosa Parks, became a powerful instrument of change because it brought attention to the legal work being done by the civil rights movement. Preventing random planes from taking off are superficial publicity stunts with no lasting effect, except for sacrificing the status of rule of law on the altar of arbitrary self-righteousness and disrespect. In fact, it is likely counterproductive, as the blanket of protection and freedom these activists rise and sleep under gradually grows thinner as a result of their own doing. Do you think the rule of law is more important than the feelings of individual citizens? Please share this video and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Have you had experiences of activism, civil disobedience, and legal change? Please write me a comment. I appreciate all respectful communication. If you enjoy my videos, please feel free to support my work using Patreon. There is a link for that purpose down below. I am Henrik Jönsson, and I defend the rule of law. Thank you very much for listening.